Thanks, Catherine. Good morning. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for the power of your living word. And Lord, in these challenging circumstances in which we find ourselves, we're so keen to hear what you have to say to us. Speak your word of life to us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great to see you. Thank you for your kind inquiries about my knee. For those of you who know, I had a knee replacement 6 weeks ago. And I hope you're impressed, those of you who are looking carefully to see how I got up. It does work, which is great. But the real victory is I'm allowed to drive. I feel like a big boy, I tell you. It was the most undignified thing, not being able to drive, having the car there, but having to rely on other drivers. But they're very gracious, and they all told me how much they enjoyed driving me around, but I'm glad they're out of the way now. But it's great to be with you. Thank you for your concern. Well, in this sermon series, which I've had the privilege not only of beginning but ending, which doesn't often happen, we've looked at a number of these different metaphors for the church, different picture language to describe what the church is like. I started off by reminding us we're the body of Christ. We thought about what it meant to be citizens of heaven, God's flock, God's field. And I'm bringing this little series to an end by reflecting on the fact that we are the family of God. And it's a great theme, isn't it, for an anniversary Sunday. And the reason we've looked at this series is very deliberate. It's saying, whatever the weather, whether we've got a world war out there, or we've got flooding, or a pandemic, or whatever, all these things are true. We're church. And we've just got to work out what it means to be these things in the different circumstances in which we find ourselves. As you know, over the last couple of years, we've pursued this vision discovery process, which has been a great time of reflecting on our history, reflecting on what kind of church we are now, and saying, where are we going to go next? Where's the journey ahead over the next few years? And the big word that came out of that, as you will know, was family. We're called to be a family church. I'm very conscious that when we use the word family, it triggers a whole range of things. It'd be very interesting, actually, to talk to your neighbour about what it means when we say family. For me personally, it's a warm word. It's a happy word. Family means love, means affirmation, means security, means lots of lovely, happy memories of being family, all of that stuff. With her permission, I say, and some of you have heard me speak this language before, you say family to my wife, Sue, and she will say all those things of our family. But from the family which she came from, she would want to use the word dysfunction. Not worth having. Just confusion. A lack of affirmation, a lack of security, not really knowing where you were. So I'm very conscious that when I use the word family to all of you and those of you watching from home, it does trigger many different things. I want to sort of baptize it this morning by saying, as we talk about the family of God, we're talking about family at its best. We're talking about family, which is about love, which is about ultimate security and affirmation. So as we look at this word and this description of us being the family of God, there are three things I'd like to say to you which seem to me to be the great themes of this passage. First of all, it speaks about unity. We are united because of Christ. In the early verses that Catherine read for us, we heard about this transformation that had taken place. There were two humanities. There was the Jews, and then there was the rest. Gentiles really just means the rest. Non-Jews. It literally means the nations. So humanity was divided between Jews and Gentiles, and there was a great wall in between. And that wall has now come down in Christ. The wall has been dismantled because of what Jesus did in dying on the cross. And we celebrate that in communion, as we will come to communion in a few moments. That is to say, through Jesus, unity has been brought about. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. And the result is this, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We've been brought within the family of God by Jesus. That's what he's done. He's made us part of this eternal family. But the truth is, of course, when we come and form part of this family, we bring our differences with us. We're just different. We're different. Look around you. We bring different ages. We bring different genders. We bring different education, different life stories, different ethnicities. It's incredibly rich, but we're different. We're fundamentally different from one another, and that's rich and it's wonderful. But it means we have work to do. It means we have to work at unity. I love the way in which Paul writes about this in chapter 4 of Ephesians, where he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We are family, but we've got to work at it. Hear it again. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we've been given the gift of unity through the Spirit. That's what we've got. That's what we celebrate. We have got unity. But we've got to make every effort to maintain it, to keep it in place. So what are the things we need in order to be united? Look to the previous verse, where Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This is our calling. The truth is, what we're going through at the moment is a divided experience in all sorts of ways. We totally understand that some people are still at home and they feel that's the appropriate thing to do. It's great, lovely you're with us, and it's extended what we can do. And there are people in other parts of the country who are joining with us because we're online. That's all brilliant. But we're divided. This isn't the congregation you'd expect to see at Eastleigh Baptist Church. We're still divided. We have different views about mask wearing. Great to do the survey. Thank you for those of you who contributed to the survey recently, which is really helpful to us in understanding who we are and what we are and what we can do next. Really helpful. But it did reveal the fact that we've got different views about these things. And I think we just need to smile and recognize that and respect one another and say, this is still new territory. We're feeling our way. We're doing things differently from one another, but that's fine. We respect that. But there is tension in all of that, isn't there? And we need to say to one another, we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. We'll need to be humble. If you've got a strong view on these subjects, great, well done. Thank you for your strong view. You could be wrong. Be humble. Just recognize we've all got more to learn. Be gentle. Be gentle. Where things have gone wrong, and I'm not thinking of this church, but I am involved in other churches, and we've had some sharp disagreements at times on the whole matter of COVID and how to interpret what we should do, because, to be honest, people haven't been gentle. They've wanted to lay down the law because their view was obviously right. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. It's one of those words, it's so easy to say, isn't it? Be patient. Some of us were brought up with the authorized version of the Bible, the King James Bible, where the word for patient was actually said to be long-suffering. And that's a very clever word, long-suffering, because it's a straight translation of the Greek, makrothumia, big macro, probably shopped there, makrothumia, suffering. And let's be honest about it. Living with one another, with all our differences and different views, what you need in order to get through all of that is long suffering. If you've ever been part of a church for any length of time, you've needed long suffering. And you won't be surprised that the only way to get this long suffering is by a miracle. It's from the Holy Spirit. You won't do it by effort. Don't think you'll do it by effort. You'll do it because you allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I think this church has coped with COVID wonderfully well. I think we've done fantastic. It was lovely to see. Thank you so much for those of you who put together the record of the last year, which is just fantastic. And I know there's a lot of hard work that went into preparing that, but what a lovely celebration of the fact that God has been at work. Even though it's been such a difficult time, God has done great things amongst us. So, unity. We all need to contribute to unity. We all need to make our contribution to building up the strength of the family. So unity is a big theme. The next big theme, it seems to me, is belonging. That what we're saying about being part of the family of God is when you're part of the family, you belong. Actually, not just for now, but forever. You're part of it. We all have favourite passages of Scripture, and I think probably at the end of the day, my favourite passage of Scripture, which I find more moving, I think, than anything else in the whole of Scripture, is Acts chapter 9. You know, the account of Saul's conversion. So Saul wasn't a thug. I've sometimes heard sermons which make it sound as if he was a thug. He wasn't a thug. He was certainly bent on the destruction of the church, but not because he was a man of violence, because he was a passionate Jew. He was absolutely committed to his faith. He'd been trained by the best rabbi, Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. He came from that very serious religious group. And because of that, he hated everything about Christ. He hated everything about the growth of the church and was determined to destroy them. So he goes off to Damascus, as you know, with letters of authority. This wasn't a thug. This was somebody who was acting in a proper way, got letters of authority, was going off to Damascus, and you know what happened. Bright light, meets Jesus. His life was totally changed. Amazing, fantastic. That's brilliant. But it's the next bit that means so much to me. God then has a word with an Ananias. Ananias lives in Damascus and is clearly a godly man. And God says to Ananias, I've got this great plan for you. Could you go, please, and lay hands and bless this man, Saul? And Ananias says to God, I think we've got a communication problem here, my words. You know, this guy has come to destroy the church. What's going on? And God says to Ananias, this godly man, well, I've got a plan for him. And he's going to take the good news to the Gentiles. What a wacky thought that was. This was a proper, true-blooded Jew. The thought of him having anything to do with Gentiles was extraordinary enough, let alone him becoming a missionary to the Jews, to the Gentiles. So, and coming to the big moment, what does Ananias do when he meets this violent, committed Jew called Saul? He's learnt that he's come into the family. What does he say? I just find this overwhelming. He meets him and he says, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, you're part of the family. I mean, how much courage must that have taken from Ananias to be able to go and meet him at all, let alone to go into the same place as him, lay hands on him and say, Brother Saul. And what I'm saying by that is the moment you come into the family of God, you're part of it. You belong for time and for all eternity. In those wonderful moments when we pray the prayer with somebody and they say, Lord Jesus, I've messed up my life. I confess my sin. I hand over to you. I want to be yours. In that moment, do look in their eyes and say, Brother Paul, Sister Mary, whatever. You're part of the family. Now and for all eternity, it's all about belonging. In a few moments' time, my friend Toby is going to welcome some new members, which is brilliant. It's all about belonging. It's all about saying we're not just here watching a show, a sort of bit of light entertainment, you know, Christian style, you know, an enjoyable hour we spend together. It's not that. This is about belonging. It's about being committed to one another. I thank God for membership. I thank God that we have something called membership, which has always been important to Baptists through the last 400 years. And what it's about is it's saying we only have a church here because we have people who love Jesus. If there was no one here who loved Jesus and wanted to serve him, we'd still have a building, but we wouldn't have a church because church is the people. It's only us who believe in Jesus who make this a church. This building doesn't do anything to us. It's just a building. Pull it down, put some flats up, do what you like. But we are here because we believe in Jesus, because we're committed to him. Let me make it absolutely clear what membership is about. Good to say that before we welcome these members, and I'm sure they will agree with me. There are two elements to being a member. One, that you believe personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. You've given your life to him. That's number one. Number two is you believe Jesus is calling you at this time to be committed to this church and to use your gifts to support the life of this church. So there's two things. You believe in Jesus and you're committed to using your gifts at this time to support this church. I do encourage you, I don't know actually which of you are members and which are not, and that's fine. That's known to you and to God and a few others. But if you're not a member and you do love Jesus and you are committed to this church, and I would urge you to take that step of becoming a member. Why? Because it would be good for you. It would give you that sense of belonging. But also it would be encouraging to everybody else. So I do urge you to take it serious. We are the family of God. We belong, and belonging is really important. One of the reasons I believe membership is so important is because it reflects the teaching of the New Testament, which talks about us as being members of the body of Christ, members of one body. So I urge you to take that very seriously. We're the family of God. Through the years, I know, and I've never had this conversation in this church, it may not be an issue for you, but because I love the picture of the church being a family, I've had lots of people through the years who've been concerned about it, because what they've heard is that we're a church of families. And they say, well, I don't feel I fit because I don't have a partner and two kids, and you know, I feel, you know, I don't. Can we be clear what family is? Family is the place where everybody belongs. If you're a nuclear family and you've got a partner and two children, it's great, you're really welcome. If you're a single parent family, we're thrilled you're a part of this church. If you're single, we're delighted you're part of this church and hope you'll thoroughly feel that you belong. If you're a widow or a widower, I pray that you will know you're part of family. So please hear that clearly. This is not a church. By saying it's a family church, we're not saying it's a church that's just made up of people who qualify, who have the right sort of shaped families. We're not saying that. We're saying it's the family of God. And everybody belongs who loves him. Everybody belongs because they're loved by him. So unity is a big theme. Belonging is a big theme. Third, final theme is the theme of welcome. A true family isn't turned in on itself. A true family has energy for those beyond. A functioning, healthy family is a family that's always looking out to embrace others. What I love about Paul's teaching about the church is that it's dynamic, it's constantly moving. And that's family life, isn't it? Some of you kindly asked me today about the family. You know, and I appreciate the question very much. My family, like yours, we're no different, is constantly moving. You think, actually, how do I summarize what's happening in my family at the moment? There are so many different things, different themes, exciting things happening, few challenges here and there. You know, it's family life, isn't it? And the vision that Paul had was of the church constantly growing, this family church constantly developing. Hear this. Paul said at the end of chapter, midway through chapter 4, he says, we'll no longer be infants. So this picture, we don't want to be thrown around by the winds and the waves of life. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We're a growing church. We're going somewhere, and God wants us to look to the coming year, the 135th year. As we go forward on this journey, he looks for us to be looking for ways in which we can develop, the ways in which we can extend the welcome to other people. Church meeting this last week, we had some exciting thoughts about Christmas. Christmas has been so important to this church for a number of years. You've used it really well as a way of reaching out to the community and to others, and that's brilliant. And that will continue this year. And there's a lovely imaginative thought of the way in which that can be done. Why? Because we're family. Because we're not an introverted family just doing fun things for ourselves. We're a family of God reaching out in his name to this community. So let's celebrate being family by coming to the Lord's table. Let me lead you in prayer before we come and celebrate communion together. Let's pray. Lord God, our loving Father, thank you so much that you have invited us to be part of your family. Lord, thank you for that beautiful moment when Ananias embraced Saul, brother Saul, and we embrace one another in this moment in our minds. We just say thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as family, of making us brothers and sisters of your eternal family. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you yet long to do for us, so that we may not be a selfish, self-centered, introverted family, but a family that's constantly reaching out with your love and your care. So, Lord, lead us, we pray. And as we prepare to come to the table, remind us of this family which we belong to, which isn't just about Eastleigh, it's not just about Hampshire, not just about the United Kingdom, it's about your family throughout the world. Lord, we thank you for bringing us into this wonderful family. Amen.